This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Mark Packer, Wes Durham, Wes down back home in Cartersville. The dogs are here, by the way. Folks, sent me some notes. Chester and Fuller, yeah, the boys are here. Chester lost about 15 pounds on his shave, and Fuller had a couple shots yesterday, so he's doing okay. So the boys are fine. Maybe we get to see Clifford D. Cat. Before we get out of here, we haven't seen Clifford in a long time.
Ooh.
So we'll see what happens there. But Wes, you're a Hall of Famer. It's time to introduce another Hall of Famer to the show.
Yeah, oh, this was a big one. Tim Hasselbeck joins us, of course. Weekly visit ahead of BC Florida State at noon on Saturday. Because hole number 7's going into the great annals of Boston College Athletics. Tim, congratulations. Great to have you with us, my man.
It's great to be with you guys. I appreciate the congratulations. Certainly excited and honored by the opportunity to recognize that way, but was also really surprised as well. So should be fun.
You got the speech written?
It's in the works.
Wait! Whoa! No! No, that can't be the answer from a BC man. Now, I expect you to be buttoned up, sharp, well-educated, studied. I mean, you can't be in the works. I mean, that's got to be done. I mean, you got a game to do.
Yeah, no, that is fair. I do have a game to do. And, I tend to look much more forward than back. And so while it's not complete, Pack, I think the thing this has afforded me to do is actually reflect a little bit on my time, at BC and the people that kind of made it, the people that made it, such a great experience. And so, that's probably what I'm most thankful for is, and you guys know this, I mean, it's never about, what an individual ends up accomplishing or being a part of. It's that they remember. It's kind of all the great memories created, whether it was through coaches or teammates or just people at the school. So, it'll be a cool opportunity. And, Will Blackman's another guy going in who obviously was a great football player at BC and then had a great pro career as well. So, I'm looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. And honestly, I think we're going to end up getting a game that, if you would have looked at this game on the calendar 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe would not have looked as good, but it certainly does now.
Tim, when you look at and first of all, I think Will Blackman, isn't he a winemaker or something now? Hadn't he gotten into some sort of the vineyard game, as I recall? Did I hear that right?
I don't know. I'll do a little research on that this weekend,
yeah.
Wes. I think he may. I do know that. He had a great career. He played a little offense defense at BC. He's a great returner. And, guys like that, typically don't end up at the Heights. So, being a local guy from Rhode Island, I think that was a pretty good find for BC.
Yeah, no question. Let's pivot to the game here. But I want to ask you, this thing for Phil Jurkovec, the return of Phil Jurkovec, and Jeff Hafley was with us about toughness and leadership and intangibles and things like that. I think it's one of those guys that when he comes back, it helps BC on both sides of the ball, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I will say, in all of my time as a player, whether it was college or the pros, I can't say that there are a ton of guys that I was around where it felt like, that's a true leader on both sides of the ball. Like that offensive player affects the defense, or that defensive player affects the offense. And I will tell you, the guy that I first really recognized somebody that was a leader on both sides of the ball was Michael Strahan, So, I mean, I'm probably at that time, 30 years old and was this guy, it's transcending both sides of the ball. I get that sense. I get that sense with Phil Jurkovec that he, he just gave them hope offensively, but I think it also gave the defense hope in that they were all right, we're going to score some points now. So, you look back to last week when they got down, you know, it's like, all right, it's okay, it's 21-7 because of our quarterback. And before you know it, it's 28-21 as they're going into halftime.
You know what I like about this game, Tim, is the fact that BC is playing with a ton of confidence now that Five is back. And here's Florida State, an emotional game against Miami. It was back and forth, had the big lead. It got away from them. They're at home. Man, Jordan Travis making some dime throws down the stretch. Emotional, tough, physical. The guys had to hang in there. Florida State's got to be feeling great, right? I mean, that was a huge win for Mike Norvell. And, yeah, granted, they're making a road trip up to BC this weekend, but I think they got to feel pretty good about the fact that, hey, they were 0-4, and now they're looking around going, hey, if we go WW, we're punching our ticket to a bowl game, something only two other FBS teams have ever done, start 0-4 and get to a bowl. I think they're playing with an inner confidence, too, going on the road this weekend.
I completely agree with you, and if you watch them now, right, if you watch that Miami game, it's got a very different feel, and it looks different than games earlier in the season. And so to that point, you know, you just have to look at it. And I think, you know, you bring up Jordan Travis and the things he's able to do. He had 22 carries last week. You know, you've got to be ready to defend the quarterback in a bunch of different ways. And so, you know, for a guy that ran it 22 times a week ago, but then passed the ball the way they needed him to pass the ball, you know, on that, you know, game-winning drive, he's got to be playing with a lot of confidence. And I think the team having a lot of confidence in him is a factor. So, you know, much like that, that's the story for BC, that's got to be part of the story for Florida State as well, is, you know, BC's rallying around 5. Well, Florida State's rallying around 13.
Tim, the other part about Florida State, and Roddy's mentioned this a couple times in our coverage during the fall, the idea, their ability to run the football has kind of been glossed over. I mean, what Jayshon Corbin has done from a numbers perspective, it's not that far behind it's not as pronounced as Mateo Durant or Sean Tucker of Syracuse, but it's still pretty daggone good how good Corbin has been and how it's also amplified their overall run game as a team.
Yeah, and the quarterback helps that because they, you know, make you defend another gap because the quarterback can be a runner. And so, you know, I think when you look at their run game in general, you know, it is – you know, you've got to include the quarterback in that. And Wes, you've seen Florida State enough over the past few years. The growth in the run game in terms of everything that's involved in it. So quarterback, running back, sure. But the offensive line as well. They're just, you know, I think sometimes, and this is the part that I think ends up being, you know, probably hard for fans, you know, of certain programs, but it's also a reality. Like, whether it's Miami or whether it's Florida State, you know, the expectations, you know, I think for many of the fans haven't changed. But I think they've had to dig out of a bit of a hole. You know, I think they've had to dig out of a place where, you know, they're not used to being. And I definitely see with this Florida State team, a team that is digging out of the hole and is starting to, you know, reap the rewards of, you know, some of the growth that we've seen from them, you know, going back and, you know, just, you know, whether it was last season or the season prior, saying, okay, like this is different now. It's starting to look different. It's starting to look like the way Florida State should look. And I feel like I have noticed that for sure, watching them offensively and truthfully, you know, defensively as well, when you look at their, you know, when you look at their front four.
Tim, I'm going to take you around the league real quick. Pitt wins, they're in. Wake wins, they're in. So with that said, this weekend, you see two of them punch the ticket, one punch the ticket, neither punch the ticket. What happens? A, B, or C?
Man. I want to say both. Pitt to me is they're a tough football team. You know, Virginia being banged up is, you know, to me, and the total. But that to me, like, I feel like when we had Virginia a few weeks back, you know, it wasn't necessarily a bunch of guys that couldn't play, but a bunch of guys that were doing everything they could to be ready to play. And so, you know, I think you have to factor that in. And then, look, I know this, the streak at Death Valley. I don't want to say that Wake would lose that football game is that I feel like they've really been disrespected all year long. I really do. And I know their defense hasn't been perfect and it's been a challenge at times, but like the job that they have done at Wake Forest is remarkable. And, you know, I think, you know, had it not been Wake Forest when they, you know, were 8-0, I think the narrative would have been drastically different on them. And so I think in some ways, you know, like I feel for them that it's like that. And so I, you know, don't want to say that I can't see them getting it done because I certainly can.
Tim, I think you're right about Wake Forest and the remarkable work they've done. The curiosity, and I've kind of talked this theme through the whole deal. You've seen Clemson enough this year too. The Tigers have never quite hit the stride, right? Defensively, they've been really good, but offensively, it's kind of been hit and miss, and it's more miss than hit based on their standard. It just feels like Clemson, if they're going to roll this thing one time, Saturday's the day they roll it.
Yeah, and look, I don't think that Clemson, we're going to all of a sudden have a week where it's like, oh, finally, Clemson cracked the code, figured it out. This is who they are now. Like I think we've seen this season who they are. You know, they're a team offensively that's not nearly as explosive as they once were. But at the same time, you know, have developed into a team that's a little bit better at running the football and grinding it out. And then from a perspective of, you know, them defensively, you know, injuries or not, that group's going to play hard. They're good. They're competitive. And you've got to, yeah, fight for every inch, not every yard, you know, when you play them. So, you know, I think State's got a really good defense, and Wake Forest found a way to get it done. And, you know, their offense is unique, you know, so I don't think we can say, okay, well, look, this is what, you know, this is what Clemson has done in the past. This is why they're going to have success against Wake. You know, I don't think you can say that. So, yeah, I just think, you know, history and in that stadium, I heard you guys talking about it before, you know, senior night and, you know, all of that stuff. Mm. You know, those things do end up becoming a factor, I think, and it'll be a hard environment to win the game in.
Before I let you go, Wes has got the game this weekend with Miami and Virginia Tech. Justin Fuente dismissed this week. Do you get a sense that Virginia Tech plays with their hair on fire, or is it kind of that lifeless look that they had in Boston College on that Friday night a couple of weeks ago, where it just looked like they just want to get this thing over with? What do you think you get from the Hokies Saturday at Hard Rock?
Look, I would anticipate that's a tough group of guys, and, you know, mentally and physically tough, I think. And so I think when things like, you know, dismissing a coach happen, it grabs everybody's attention. And now all of a sudden guys, you know, are looking at whether it's, hey, this is my last opportunity. Who knows what my future holds here, you know, at this school, whether it's, hey, look, I might be looking for an opportunity to potentially go play somewhere else. I think there's enough motivation that ends up going around that, you know, you would get a rally, you know, from the guys in the locker room. And so I would expect a really good effort, you know, kind of a high energy effort out of that group.
Well, tell you what, it'll be an interesting weekend to see kind of how all things unfold from your ball game at noon to the nighttime with the Hokies and the Hurricanes. By the way, I'm pleased to report, Tim, I got clarity from O'Brien. It's not just a walk to the stadium for him. It's a brisk walk. He told me it's classified as a brisk walk from his house to Alumni Stadium. So he's not only he's saving the company hotel and gas and mileage pack. And we're also, I guess, going to question, you got to look at your per diem charges here, don't you? When you got the brisk walk to the stadium, right? We got to start thinking about the company keeping an eye on the bottom line, don't we, Tim? Right?
I mean, I think Dave has, Dave has earned a few home games, I think. You know, yeah. last week he was calling a Duke basketball game on Friday night before our game on Saturday night. So I don't think there's any question that he's earned a few home games. Hey, especially with all the ridicule he has received for, you know, not having Devin Leary on his Davey O'Brien quarterback list, even though he's not that Davey O'Brien.
You know, the burden that he lives under becomes worse and worse and worse. The man's just trying to make a living. Guy's just trying to make a living.
No. How about that?
No doubt
about Tim,
it.
Is that really – there are people who think it's his list? Seriously? That's crazy.
Hey, by people, if you mean me, yes.
Okay, got it. Good. All right, there we go. That's all
we
needed.
We don't mind causing a little confusion.
That's it.
Congratulations.
Hey, congratulations again.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
We're going to chronicle quarterbacks in the fourth quarter here. I'm looking at the way kind of this list unfolds. I think people are going to be really surprised which quarterbacks have a high QBR in the fourth quarter. They're not going to be surprised by Devin Leary at number one. His QBR is 84.6. Behind that, though, I think it gets interesting. And there is one look here that, you know, when we start talking about quarterbacks, it's usually Armstrong, Pickett, and Hartman, right? Those three. And Sam Howell. But look at the top five here. Hartman 4, Armstrong 5, behind Leary, Gunnar Holmberg, and Tyler Van Dyke. Pack.
That would be a bar bet. That's how I categorize that. Mm-hmm. If you ask that question to any ACC football fan, hey, give me the top three in crunch time. I'll tell you what, I'm not sure. You may go 0 for 3. You may go 0 for 3. Trying to get 1, 2, and 3. Because I think you had immediately gone to Brendan Armstrong. You'd immediately gone to Kenny Pickett. Mm-hmm. You'd immediately gone to either Sam Howell or Sam Hartman. And you probably would have forgotten about Malik Cunningham. But the three that you got, 1, 2, 3, I don't think folks would have gotten that right. You might have had a complete whiff on that. 1, 2, 3.
Sam Howell, by the way, falls just outside the top five. Garrett Schrader, Jordan Travis, Jeff Sims is 9, and then Kenny Pickett is 10.
How about that?
In fourth quarter QBR.
How about that? That is a bar bet. That is like the ultimate bar bet, is what that is. You want to impress your buddies this weekend? You get that last 2 mm-hmm. minutes of the show, you write that down and memorize it, and you go to your buddies this weekend and say, I'll tell you what, boys and girls, it's all on me if you can get this right. Name 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
No stinking way they'd get that right. No way. No way.
Is that not remarkable?
It's crazy.
Yeah. Huh. And the Holmberg thing, by the way, the lead for Leary, you saw the graphic, is better than 5 points in the QBR. 84-79.3 for Gunnar Holmberg. And then Tyler Van Dyke, who, again, has not started the full season for Miami. Let's respect the body of work of De'Eriq King early. Sam Hartman 6-2, Mark, with touchdowns to interceptions in the fourth quarter. Pretty salty, by the way. That's pretty good.
Well, I think
and then Leary 7-1 is strong.
Well, I was going to say, the fact that Devin Leary's number one, to me, is a testament of Dave Doeren's team. Because Devin Leary mm-hmm. has been outstanding this year. And in a league that's got a lot of high-profile guys at quarterback, he's been so steady, so consistent. And I go back to the game Saturday night with everything at stake. You know, two picks, kind of really totally uncharacteristic of his performance, even though he threw for 408 yards and was really dynamic. But, man, he has been consistently good all season long. And it's one of the reasons NC State is having such a terrific year.
Yeah, and he's quietly played his way not only into the discussions of this year, but, boys, he played his way into the discussions of 22. And I know it's early to look ahead to next year, but, man, that's bringing back quite a weapon when you got that guy.
I just think he's played smart, Wes. You know, 21 touchdowns against ACC competition. And that ratio of TDs to INTs, he's just really smart with the football. And the way Dave Doran, and I remember when we did our show from Raleigh before the season started, Dave Doran talked about, hey, we're going to win the line of scrimmage. We're going to be low in penalties, and we're not turning the ball over. Those were three things that were certainly emphasized. And that was what was probably discouraging for NC State fans Saturday night. 14 penalties, three turnovers. It was so out of character for the way they had been playing all season long. But I go back to Devin Leary. He has been steady. He's been really good. And I think in some respects, completely underappreciated by the media and fans on a national standpoint when you're in a league that's loaded with such high-profile guys. Devin Leary has been outstanding.
Yeah. It is singularly the hardest vote that will be put on the ACC ballot, and not just to pick one, but to pick two and three.
Agreed.
In terms of all ACC. It's going to be incredibly difficult to kind of measure it up. Now, the way the ballot is done, you pick one, and then you move on. But it's an incredibly difficult vote this year for the quarterback spot. Obviously, it's a Pickett, Hartman, Armstrong top three at this juncture. But you're right about Leary, and that's why I'm as much about 21 do I think Devin Leary is going to be quite a story in 22 for where NC State could be, assuming, you know, stay healthy, all the little requirements and intangibles you need to occur. But what a year he's had, and congratulations to the Wolfpack on that for sure.
And Wes, quickly, the game we have tonight with Duke and Louisville, Malik Cunningham, I still think he's the most underappreciated quarterback in the country. Malik Cunningham, only one of four quarterbacks in the FBS. 10 rushing touchdowns, 10 passing touchdowns. You talk about athletic,
right?
A nightmare for every defensive coordinator. He almost gets lost in the conversation, and all you got to do is watch him play, and you go, wow, man, can this guy play? Mm. This league, we are beyond blessed. And, you know, if Djurkovic had played a full season, right, had been healthy, if TVD, if De'Aaron King was healthy this year, I mean, I'm just telling you, we are blessed beyond belief in being able to watch incredible quarterback play in this conference this year. And I said it before the year, I'll say it now in week 12. There is not another single conference in America that is close to what the ACC delivers in quarterback play. It's not even close.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Tonight, it's game night in the ACC. Louisville's on the road. They're at Wallace Wade Outdoor Stadium to take on Duke. Blue Devils desperately looking for a W. They've lost six straight, 11 consecutive games in the ACC. And in comes, a confident Louisville team after what they did to Syracuse last week. Cameron Teague joins us. He does a great job covering the Cards. He's been with us many, many times before. Cameron, good seeing you again. Boy, I tell you what, Louisville finally figured out a way not to make fourth quarter a dramatic thing after what they did to Syracuse. They were really, really impressive last week against the Orange. Maybe their best effort of the year.
Yeah, it might be their best effort in probably a year and a half, really. I thought they played four quarters start to finish. You like what you saw from the defense early, and then getting stops on Sean Tucker, and then the offense turned those into points. And I think they put Syracuse in a position that they didn't really want to be in, and took over that game from start to finish.
All right, Cam, so what's the old Coca-Cola salesman as a kid growing up in Hillsborough, North Carolina, had to say about the old return visit to Wallace Wade Stadium this week? The emotions for Satterfield always seem to be a little different for this type game.
Yeah, I imagine it'd be pretty cool. He talked about it a little bit on Monday, and he said he was they would come to games, and they wouldn't really watch the games. They would just go in the field in the back and play football all the time. So it'll be cool, and obviously it's a big-time game for them. If they win, they can get bowl eligibility. So I'm sure that'd be pretty cool for him to clinch that here if they can take care of business.
I know that tonight's important. You mentioned with the bowl. Next week's incredibly important in the Commonwealth. Cameron, I've mentioned a few times to Wes, regardless of how these next two go, Satterfield and the boys, the fan base, they're going to look back at this season and go, man, we were so close. I mean, those three fourth quarter leads and being able to close, And regardless of what happens tonight and next week, they will look back and go, man alive, the difference between maybe a double-digit winning season versus 7-5 or 6-6 or whatever it is, is really microscopic at Louisville, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you look at Virginia, I mean, you're up 17 going into that fourth quarter, and Wake Forest as well. NC State was a little bit of a different situation. I think NC State kind of had control of that game, although Louisville had some chances late. But, yeah, you look at that game and a couple of those games, and you think, especially Clemson, and you look at those and you think, man, we could be contending for the ACC championship right now. So there's a lot of what-ifs, but I think if you finish this season strong, you beat Duke today, and then I think it's the most important game of the year. If you beat Kentucky, that changes the narrative of the entire season, I think.
Cam, how much we talk about Malik Cunningham is almost, and he is the central figure in the offense, no question. But to get Jalen Mitchell to add to the run game last week against a Duke defense that might have a hard time slowing guys down tonight, Mitchell's got to start thinking he's playing with a little bit of confidence too. And I know Cooley's had moments, but it seems like Mitchell could be a real factor down the stretch here.
Yeah. He's just a powerful back. I'm not sure how defense is when you get into the fourth quarter, you're not tired of just tackling him because he's just so big. But I agree. I think you saw him have a few breakout runs against Syracuse. He doesn't have that like breakaway speed, but he hits the hole so quickly that really doesn't matter sometimes. So I think, man, both with him and Cooley, Louisville has two backs that are going to be good in the ACC for a long time. But yeah, I agree. I think Jalen Mitchell has a chance to have another big game tonight against Duke.
You know, given the fact that Duke's given up 45 or more in four consecutive games, they haven't won a game in, it seems like, forever. Louisville's offensive line, coach told us 2 weeks ago, man, these boys up front are getting the job done. We know how dynamic Malik Cunningham is. I got to figure if you're an offensive player for Louisville tonight, you're kind of going, man, this is a night to shine. We prime time under the lights. Duke's really struggling. Yeah. They haven't stopped a cold. Let's just go out and ball. I just think Louisville's got a chance tonight to be one of those teams that people watch maybe for the first time this year and go, "Who, man, where have these guys been all year?" I think they can go crazy.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I agree. I think you could see a very, very repeat of the Syracuse game. I think if Malik Cunningham, I mean, he threw the ball so well against Syracuse that they really didn't need his legs. If he has it both, it can be a long day for Duke. And that offensive line has been great all year, and they continue to get stronger. They don't really let people touch Malik, and they don't give up a lot of tackles for loss. So that combination right there could lead to a big game for them against Duke.
Cam, Mark talked about the disappointments, and, you know, they can be chronicled now. I mean, it's been that kind of year. Where are the positives here for Satterfield in year three? Because we know Coach of the Year 2 years ago. Last year they were a team that were kind of bobbing and weaving throughout the campaign. It feels like this game, and I understand it's tonight, but we've talked a lot about Kentucky too. This game and next week could really change a lot of the personality and really the perception, I think, of the way we look at the Ville going to 22.
Yeah, I mean, if you win both these games, Duke and then you beat Kentucky, I mean, you're looking at 7 wins in a regular season going into a bowl with a chance at 8, and I think that changes the whole narrative. I think you look at the things that have gone on for this team, injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Louisville lost their star in Monty Montgomery a couple weeks ago, lost their star in Kytrell Clark, and the defense still seems to be getting better every week. I think that's been a bright spot. I think you can see their growth if they can finish games a little bit more. And then you see the offense and what they can do. I think some receivers who are going to be back for a couple years have stood out. Jordan Watkins, Amari Huggins, Bruce is another one, Tyler Harrell. So you see the potential of this group, and it's a young team. So if you can finish out this season well, I think it bodes well going into the next season.
Cam, I called them the team of mystery before the season started. I got to tell you, we're in week 12. They're still the team of mystery to me. I mean, I thought last week's game was a fourth quarter game, and I see that score pop up watching them like, yeah, they're a team of mystery. I mean, every time you think they're down, they're up. Every time you think they turn the corner, they go down. They're a hard group to figure, man.
Yeah, it makes for an entertaining season to cover them. But yeah, I thought it was a one score game. I thought Louisville would beat Syracuse, but I thought it'd be maybe by a touchdown. Didn't expect that type of performance. Now you go into Duke expecting that, so you don't know what you'll see. So I do think they'll come out and handle Duke. I just think they're playing pretty well right now. But I agree. You really never know what you're going to get from Louisville day in, day out.
Well, you know, that's the part about this, too. It's been really interesting to watch this team kind of bob and weave, a little bit like last year, the disappointments. Packer tagged them. I mean, it's hard to believe, Mark, what you said in July and August has held form all year. They truly have become, and I know Louisville people sometimes cringe when we say this, but they've been the team of mystery. And as great as Cunningham has been, I'll go back to what you just said a moment ago, Cam. Defensively, they've kind of found their way under Brian Brown. And, you know, there was a nightmare of a start, but it's been encouraging to watch the last, you know, kind of couple nights or a couple ball games, I should say, with what they've done defensively. And I got to believe it's somewhat encouraging. And that comes with the Clark injury, too, in the secondary, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's been Maggie's thing. You even look at the Virginia game. The three quarters, they're really containing Brennan Armstrong. Now, you have to take in consideration the fourth, but you look at there and you see there's potential. The last couple of weeks, they haven't had Trey Clark, and they Syracuse really didn't want to throw the ball, but they did pretty well against Clemson, I think, without Kytrell Clark, too, as well, other than a few breakdowns. So, they're finding ways to get things done on the defensive side of the ball without two legitimate all-ACC stars.
Cam, where would you put Malik Cunningham in the pecking order of a really deep and talented ACC quarterback roster? Where does he fit?
Yeah. I mean, I think you have Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, Hartman, Leary. I would maybe think Malik is four or five. I probably put him right at five. He just does so much for them. And, I mean, you look at him, he has a chance to be a 2020 guy, I guess an outside shot of being a 2020 guy in terms of passing touchdowns and rushing touchdowns. He's just the heart and soul of Louisville. And I think if they win a couple of those games that they lost, you hear a lot more about him in a national landscape. But he's been absolutely unbelievable this year with his legs, with his arm. He's been everything for Louisville.
Cam, his maturity – Mark and I, when we talked to him the other day, his maturity as a player, maturity as a leader, is that evolved over this year, or do you think some of last year comes into play here?
I think some of last year comes into play. I was just telling somebody after the Syracuse game how much fun it's been to cover Malik the last 3 years, because you can really see the maturity. You can really see how much he's grown from the guy who people thought would be fans were asking if he was going to be a receiver, and now he's a legitimate quarterback in the ACC. I think last year helped him a lot. I don't think anyone ever likes to win, but I think he learned how to be a leader even when you're not winning. And I think that's helping him this year now that they are winning as well. And it's helping him get through some adversity too this season. I mean, they obviously the losses have been hard. They lost one of their former teammates, Desmond Dumerville, last week. He's just been that guy, that steady hand for them all season. And I think last year, going through everything they did last year probably helped.
Cam, I'm going to probably make your head spin with this question, but I am going to do a fake left go right on you. As much as we kid around with Louisville being the team of mystery in football, are they not going to be that in basketball too, and from the men's side? Just asking. I know it's early.
I mean, yeah, they probably could be. I mean, I'm interested to see what they look like when they get Chris Mack back, but they definitely could be. They definitely could be. It's been up and down so far for them this year.
Yeah, kind of crazy.
That's a good way to put it, up and down. I mean, it's the lineups, and Mike Pegues has done a pretty good job of trying to find out where the good lineup is, right? I mean, they've moved Withers in, they played Curry, they've started a different combination of guys. We know Wes can score the ball, or did it Marshall. I mean, L. Ellis has come off the bench in a couple games. I mean, Cam, they're going to be a work in progress seemingly till we get to January. I think Louisville falls into that category.
Yeah, I mean, and then you got to understand they have their new kind of up-tempo, fast-paced offense they want to work, and they're deep, and they have a lot of different lineups they want to work in. So, yeah, I do think they'll be a work in progress until probably ACC play. I mean, you have Pegues, and then you have to work Chris Mack back in. I would think, I mean, they may not hit their stride until ACC play, maybe a couple games in ACC play. But I think the potential is there for that group. It's just a matter of when it all clicks for them.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
And needless to say,
I think
they need number five healthy.
Yeah, listen, you're right about that. I think there are going to be a lot of points scored tonight while it's way outdoor, though, boys and girls. I think you're going to see a lot of Cardinals in end zones tonight. I do. I do.
I would agree. Yeah.
Great job. Thank you, as always. Appreciate the game day visit. Travel safe, okay?
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
You bet. Cameron Teague does a phenomenal job covering the Cardinals for the Courier-Journal. Look at us, double scooping football and hoops on the Ville. I like it.
But, you know, really, the reason I brought that up is because we've had some, you know, we're not mocking anybody. I mean, Louisville really has been a hard team to figure out. We didn't know what they were going to, at least I didn't know what they were going to be heading into the season. So we nicknamed them the Team of Mystery. And after 8 days of the college hoop season, you know, I watched Louisville the other night against Navy, a team that beat Virginia. They handled Navy, man. Yeah. They looked good. You know, you also saw Louisville lose it to Furman and men's basketball. And you're like, what? What's going on here? Hello? Anybody home?
Right.
So I don't – it's eight, 9 days into the season. I don't know what that's going to look like. I think Hoops is going to be like football this year. I think we're going to have some crazy scores, and you just shake your head and go, hey, don't look at me. It's, I mean, that's just the world that we're living in right now. It's fun because you never know.
Yeah.
But I do think Louisville, though, tonight, though, Wes, I think Duke's got their hands full tonight.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Final segment of a Thursday show. And there he is, finally making an appearance, Clifford D. Cat. It has been a while. Hasn't knocked over the microphone. 40%? Yeah, 40%
mountain line. 40%
mountain line,
you think? What are we thinking?
That's what I've said from day one. The day he came in here and wrecked the place.
Pretty happy to be here, isn't he?
I think you're happy to be there. I think he's been running the show since you've been gone. Look at him.
Yeah, he's pretty happy. He's pretty excited, I think. What do you think, Clifford? You going to say hello to Packer?
Yeah, look at his claws. He knows. He's ready to take out my jugular.
My man. Yep. Here he is for all of you who ask.
Yep.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Flip a D. Making an appearance.
Checking you out. That's it. Off you go, big fella.
Quarterly quota. He's good.
Yeah. His contract is totally up for grabs right now, by the way. Just so you know, his contract. He wants endorsements, name, image, and likeness, the whole bit. He saw the shirt, was not happy today with the, you know, those guys still winning the game. They are winning the game, those two.
Well, I mean, they're their actual stars. I mean, it really is Chester and Fuller. I mean, just saying.
No question. Saying.
All right, we got stuff to do here.
We asked for your social media reaction to our question on clutch with quarterbacks. And guess what? Just like the voting, we got a lot of wide swath. We cut a wide swath here. Let's start with CNM, who says that Tyler Van Dimes is the guy in crunch time he trusts the most. Give him a good plan, solid catchers, and he makes all the throws. Game over. Think he's shown it, and the future looks good. I don't disagree with that.
I agree with the future. You know, we've only had a small sample size, but I like what I've seen. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're a Miami Hurricane fan, you know that, hey, the next couple of years, we're good to go at quarterback. He can flat out get it done.
That's
I
it.
Like him. Like it.
Yeah. Will Wolf says it has to be Brennan Armstrong, can make every throw, powerful and elusive runner, fearless, no stage too big. Watch the game-winning drive against Louisville, big play after big play. Fair example.
No, he's 100% right, and it's so critical. Again, as a fan, I just hope he can go against Pittsburgh this weekend. I mean, that's a huge game, tons at stake. I know he didn't go last week against Notre Dame. And if he does go, and I have not heard anything, Wes, I don't know if you have, but I've not heard anything regarding his status for Saturday. And you know what? I don't care if he's at 70%, 80%, 90%. If he can go, man, you got to let five go out there and sling it, see where it goes.
Yeah, I think I think even Beth Mowens and Kirk Morrison and Don Davenport will know when we all know, and that might be kickoff. I think Brennan Armstrong goes out there, warms up, and it's still game time decision. Now, I think Bronco Mendenhall, he subscribes right to your theory. He's going to take it as far as he can. You know that.
Yep. So, smart.
Paul Murphy next. He says Malik Cunningham, dual threat, can strike quick. Very succinct tweet, by the way, Paul. Congratulations on that.
which makes the fourth quarter craziness at Louisville so maddening, right? I mean, you've got that guy, mm-hmm. right? And I go back to that Clemson game, man. First and goal at the two, time's rolling down. You got to take your chance. And I got four shots from the two. Malik Cunningham's my guy. You got to right. think that, hey, we're going to get this sucker in the end zone and win the ball game. Didn't happen.
Yeah. Brian Sims says Devin Leary. Now, we showed you those QBR numbers that had Leary at the top. He says he's been so solid and consistent based on what he did against Pitt last year. Remember that game-winning drive. And his stats this year, I'm rolling with him. Go Pack. I think he means go Wolfpack, not necessarily go Pack as in Packer. But
yeah, not me.
Surely
no,
it's
no,
a
no, 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 no. But, yeah, but yeah. That's why that's such a great bar bet. I mean, I'm telling you, you go to an ACC, real true ACC football fan, I guarantee you they don't get one, two, or three. They may get one right, maybe. Maybe,
yeah.
But there's no way you'd have gotten those three names right. No way.
Noel, the stunner is not Leary at one. It's Holmberg at two. I think Holmberg two is the one that starts the kind of, wait a second, huh? But Gunnar Holmberg's had a nice year. You take his stats out and move them away and don't show record or anything else around it, his stats are – except toward the 50-50 TD interception number, Gunnar Holmberg's had a really nice year in yards per attempt, completion percentage, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Brian Sims, we ran his tweet. Dennis Monahan says, Phil Jurkovic, hasn't he proved it? Look at BC with and without him.
Boy, that's another team. You're going to look back. I know we just had Halfley on the show and all those guys and Zion yesterday, they're going to look back. And again, who knows what happens this week and next week when Wake Forest goes up there. But if BC finishes off November undefeated like they did September, they're going to look at the middle part of that year and go, what could have been with Phil Jurkovic at 100% for BC? Halfley's building something good up there, I'm telling you. It's happening.
Yeah. Shannon Tootin tweets the show often. We always appreciate hearing from her. She says, everyone tweeting about Kenny Pickett's wrong. Great quarterback has to be the one who recently did just that to beat a ranked opponent. So, Sam Hartman, now please take it easy on us Clemson this weekend.
there's so many guys to choose from. I'm telling you, the league is spectacular at the quarterback position. It really is.
Well, and you know who we're leaving, and we did get one that we're not going to be able to show from a time perspective. We did get one about Jordan Travis and the 4th and 14 to Parchment last week.
Yeah. Man, he was great. He was great.
Yeah, here it is. We'll squeeze it in. I mean, 4th and 14, J. Trav every day against the Canes. That was fairly clutch.
Whew.
Fairly clutch.
I'd say. That last drive was, much less that pass. The last drive was great.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.